ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Those wonderful words that God is rescuing us from the domain of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of his beloved son. The good news, the gospel, that's what we're here to proclaim. And we want to welcome you to a beautiful Thursday edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher, sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. And you can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. And we're coming to you live today from the studios of Faith Talk 1500. Also live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael. Rabbi Lauren, great to be with you today.
And great to be with you, Rabbi Glenn, and the Faith Talk 1500 audience.
And we've been talking over the last couple of days. Of course, yesterday was a fantastic interview with Rich Robinson from Jews for Jesus. But we've been talking about what are the hallmarks of a good and healthy church. We believe very strongly that every follower of Yeshua should be a member, not just someone who shows up periodically, but a member, a committed person at a local congregation. And we've been talking about what are the things to look for to distinguish a good, healthy congregation from perhaps an unhealthy congregation.
Yes, Rabbi Glenn, being a member of a good evangelical Christian church, a good messianic Jewish synagogue, in other words, a good new covenant community, is so very, very important. It has to be at the center of our life and the lives of our families. Being part, a committed member of a good evangelical church, a good messianic congregation, is one of the most important things we can possibly do.
Yeah, it's a duty. It's a responsibility. It's a biblical mandate. And also, we would argue, a spiritual discipline, a habit we must build into our lives and the lives of our families. Hebrews 10:25 warns us, do not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. In other words, we don't want to be a spiritual lone ranger.
Proverbs 18:1, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Rabbi Glenn, the Lord has not designed us to separate ourselves, to isolate ourselves from others. And it is very wrong when Christians or Messianic Jews separate themselves from a good New Covenant community and think that they could serve the Lord or they're living for the Lord on their own. They just can't do it. I have never seen anyone grow to spiritual maturity who is not, you know, very much connected to a new covenant messianic community or a church.
And Rabbi Lauren, I think in part that's because for some people it's a matter of pride. They think it's beneath them to have to settle for being with other people, other sinful people. And for others, it may be they're running away from a problem. But both things, pride and running away from problems, are not the way we grow in the Lord. And, you know, as much as I enjoy listening to good Christian radio, like here on Faith Talk 1500, got some great programs, you know, TV and radio is not a substitute. And I know that everybody here at this station, at this network, would say, absolutely, you need to be part of a good local congregation. We are not a surrogate for that. And you need to be part of a good New Covenant community.
All right. With that being said, Rabbi Glenn, let's talk about some of the things that we want to be looking for that make up a good church, a good New Covenant community. And we have talked before about the importance of male leadership, male spiritual leadership, not women pastors. Just as the man is the head of the home and a home functions properly when the man is the leader, so the church functions properly in the very same way. And the Christian church for 1900 years rightly did not allow women to be, you know, spiritual leaders of communities, the pastors. And Rabbi Glenn, I'm going to say this to those who are listening to Faith Talk 1500 today, who are listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. If your pastor is a woman, you are doing something very wrong being part of that community. You are, you know, supporting that. You are enabling that. It's wrong. My advice to you is, you know, to ask her to leave. And if she won't leave and, you know, you get a good male pastor, then you should leave.
That's strong words, but you know, Rabbi Lauren, it's a matter of submitting to the Word of God and not trying to rationalize away or use creative hermeneutics to try to get around it. Rabbi Paul was very clear in multiple places in his epistles that the pastor or overseer is to be a man, the husband of one wife, not the wife of a husband. So it's not a matter of, we're not saying that women don't have a valuable and important role to play, but to have a woman as a senior pastor of a church, especially in this day and age when there are plenty of trained, good, godly men, it's not as though there's a dearth of godly men willing to pastor, it's rebellion to do otherwise.
I agree. So good male leadership, not female leadership. And these male leaders, these men of God, need to courageously address key spiritual issues, the reality of sin, the reality of heaven, the reality of hell, the reality of salvation through faith in Messiah alone. They must courageously address key spiritual issues, Rabbi Glenn.
Absolutely. And a good leader needs to courageously address key moral issues from a biblical perspective. A good pastor must not be afraid to talk candidly about abortion, must not be afraid to talk candidly from the pulpit about homosexuality, adultery, divorce, sex outside of marriage, any of these things. You know, a pastor who's unwilling to take a very outspoken stand from the pulpit on these issues is not worthy of that pulpit.
I agree. And Rabbi Glenn, what we can do is we can encourage these pastors, these male pastors, to be courageous, to courageously address these key spiritual issues and key moral issues of the day. Encourage your pastor to be courageous, to speak out on these issues, and let them know that you will stand by them when they do speak out on these key issues that really will mean something to them.
Absolutely. Pastors need to be encouraged by their parishioners. Also, the pastor must preach the true gospel message, not another gospel or some other way of salvation other than the biblical message, which is salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Messiah alone. Cannot be a watered-down message, cannot be a syncretistic message. It needs to be the true and pure gospel.
Syncretistic message. That's a big word, Rabbi Glenn. Syncretistic. What do you mean by that?
Mixing truth and error, or mixing biblical things with social things. A mixture, any kind of an admixture, needs to be the gospel. And if we're talking about how is a person saved, there's nothing ambiguous in Scripture about how a person is saved.
Exactly. And Paul, in, I believe, Galatians chapter 1, he talks to the Galatians about them receiving another gospel, another message of salvation. There's only one gospel, Rabbi Glenn. There's only one true message of salvation by, you know, coming to know the three-in-one God of Israel and transferring our loyalties to the three-in-one God of Israel by faith and not adding anything on to that. So there is other gospels. The man of God must preach the true gospel, not any other gospel message, which is really not the gospel.
Absolutely, and that would include making proper distinctions. For example, a pastor needs to be willing to address the Catholic-Protestant divide, and a pastor should be willing to openly say Protestant Reformation was a godly, good thing that happened. It wasn't a mistake. The Roman Catholic Church has adopted traditions and practices that are not only unbiblical, some of them are anti-biblical. And so a pastor needs to be willing to take what would today be an unpopular stand, not particularly inclusive, and be willing to say that Roman Catholicism has veered away in many ways from the Scriptures and from the true and pure gospel. So a good pastor has to be willing to speak candidly to that as well.
I agree. That's really important. Next on our list, Rabbi Glenn, commitment to biblical inerrancy, that there's no errors in the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. Inspiration of the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the claim is made by Paul that all Scripture is inspired by God. all scripture is breathed on by God, so that the final product, the Bible, is the divinely inspired, accurate, inerrant word of the living God.
Absolutely. The things that we read about, Adam and Eve, these were real people. These were historical events. The flood, a worldwide cataclysmic event, it really happened. The miracles of the Bible really happened. Messiah's resurrection really happened. The Bible is not trying to give us nice inspirational stories, but that are fictionalized and made to make us feel good. This is real history, and your pastor, if he is not committed to inerrancy in terms of every aspect of Scripture, history, theology, doctrine, conduct, if your pastor is not committed to biblical inerrancy, you need to find a better church. If your pastor is not committed to the inspiration of Scripture, that God gave these Scriptures, you need to find a better church. And Rabbi Lauren, I would also add that if your church has added to the Scriptures things like the Apocrypha or the Book of Mormon or Doctrine and Covenants or Pearl of Great Price or any other book and put it at the – how about Science of Health and Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy, or Ellen G. White's books, The Seventh-day Adventist. Any books that have been added to the Scriptures or put on the same level as Scripture, you need to find a better church, because that is not a healthy church. You may actually find yourself in a cult.
Exactly, Rabbi, and this is so foundational. The Bible gives us the wisdom that leads to salvation. So to undermine the foundation of biblical inerrancy, to say that there are errors in the Bible or that somehow it is not divinely inspired, is so destructive to our souls. We need to, you know, work to get rid of these spiritual leaders who are not committed to inerrancy or inspiration. Let's work to get rid of them. They're not fit for ministry. Or we have to ourselves excuse ourselves from these churches and find churches that are committed to the inerrancy, the inspiration of the Bible. And you're so right about not adding to the Bible like the Apocrypha, like the Catholics do, and the various other books that, you know, various groups like the Mormons and others do. So right, Rabbi Glenn.
Thank you. And, you know, Rabbi Lauren, each believer needs to do due diligence. You know, when you go to buy a house, you have an inspection done. When you buy a car, you do a little homework on it, you know, check Consumer Reports. You know, when you're going to commit yourself to a church, you need to know exactly where they stand on these key things. And you know, Rabbi Lauren, I'll give you a perfect example. There's a church up in Troy that I passed by, and I was curious about it. It said Community of Christ. Well, it sounds, you know, good. It doesn't sound like there's anything wrong with it. But I went to check it out of curiosity, and it turns out it's a splinter group of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. But the church sign just says Community of Christ. How would anybody know? Folks, you have to do your due diligence. You have to ask the right questions, because you don't want to commit yourself and become emotionally engaged and locked in at a place that is not operating according to the Word of God.
Amen. Rabbi Glenn, the next on our list, the church, of course, must be Trinitarian. That means, you know, three in one. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But this one God also, is three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Persons. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. He's a person. And this is so crucial, Rabbi Glenn.
It is, you know, and ironically, Rabbi Lauren, you and I have had contact with people, and people have called and inquired of us, thinking that we are going to be anti-Trinitarian because we're Messianic. Folks, you're hearing this from two Jewish guys. The Trinity is a true and right biblical teaching, and anyone who denies the triune nature of God, and to use the word modes or manifestations, does not cut it. Anybody who's not willing to say that there are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, find another church. It is not more authentic. It is not more Jewish to deny the Trinity. It's just heresy. That's all it is.
So, Rabbi Glenn, we want to encourage people to leave these oneness Pentecostal groups, because they do deny the three persons of the Trinity, and they're not healthy you know, Christian communities. Jehovah's Witnesses deny the Trinity. They deny that Jesus is fully divine, fully God. You need to leave a Jehovah's Witness group. The Mormons don't have a proper teaching on the deity of Jesus. You need to leave the Mormon group. It's not a Christian church.
Absolutely. And so, Rabbi Lorne, next on our list of things to look for in a good, healthy congregation, one of the basics is when it comes to the responsibility of the community is evangelism. A good, healthy church is engaged in evangelism, looking for opportunities to knock on doors, to go to community events, to be a testimony for Jesus, but also to build up the community within. There needs to be both passion for evangelism, for missions, and if there isn't, something is seriously wrong. It's the primary calling for all of us. It's the primary ministry of the church. So we, you know, if you're in a church that doesn't support missions, that doesn't get engaged in any particular way in evangelism in an active, intentional way, that's not a healthy church. That's a church that is destined to shrivel up and die.
It's got the wrong focus. Our primary focus is to continue Messiah's mission. He died, he rose from the dead, he ascended back to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, and he entrusted his mission to go into a lost and dying world and seek and save the lost. He entrusted that mission to his community of followers. And so that's so much a part of what we need to be about, Rabbi Glenn, and a church that is not reaching out and has a passion for the lost is not a healthy church.
And neither would a church be that's focused on money, prosperity, health, and wealth. Those are not the things Messiah focused on. Rabbi Paul told us in Colossians 3 not to set our minds on the things below, but to set our minds on the things above. So if you're part of a church that's teaching, you know, this prosperity, false gospel of prosperity, you need to find a better church.
You just need to leave. These prosperity teachers are corrupt. They're wicked. It's not Christianity. It's greed. It's materialism using the guise of Christianity. It's not what Jesus is about. It's not what the apostles are about. It's not what the New Testament is about. So leave these corrupt, wicked prosperity teachers and go to a church that's focused on you know, God and salvation and evangelism and you know, true spiritual growth.
Yes. And next on our list, Rabbi Lorne, is that a good church is going to teach the whole counsel of God, not one that's focused on like one pet issue, their hobby horse. You know, some churches are just so obsessed with end time prophecy that they're not building people up in maturity. They're not doing evangelism. They're not even doing good works in the community. You need to beware of a church that is so narrowly focused on one issue or has a pet doctrine. That is not healthy. You need to leave a church like that.
Yes, and Rabbi Glenn, we want to be part of communities that have an attitude to educate the believers, to challenge them, to inspire them, not just entertain. You know, that's really important. The focus of the ministry, the attitude towards a ministry is not entertainment, not just to build up, you know, numbers, but to really educate, to challenge, to inspire.
Yeah, and watch out for buzzwords like, well, we're trying to be relevant. Believe me, folks, the gospel is, was, and always will be sufficiently relevant. Well, next on the list is checks and balances in the leadership. Is the church you're involved in one where the leaders are accountable? Can the leaders be removed or disciplined if they go astray? Is there financial accountability? If you're in a church where the pastor is the king and nobody questions him and he answers to no one, you need to leave that church. If there's no accountability on the part of the leadership, that is sure shooting heading in the direction of a cult, and you don't want to be part of that.
That's true. Another thing that I think we should look for, Rabbi Glenn, is following God's principles when it comes to money. There are a lot of churches, unfortunately, that have not followed God's principles about not going into debt, and they've taken on a lot of debt to build usually big, beautiful facilities, but that can be so harmful. We're not in a good economy here in Michigan, and I think the economy is going to continue to deteriorate. And so we're going to have, communities saddled with a lot of debt. Mm-hmm. And it just adds stress to everyone and usually results in, constant pressuring, to give. And that's something to be concerned about.
It really is. And, of course, you hope that your church will have a good children's program. It's not necessarily essential, but it sure is helpful. And if it doesn't, maybe you can be the solution to that and offer to help launch a children's program. We're not saying run away at the first sign of trouble. We're saying you should walk away from churches that are bad or abusive or have false doctrine. But if your church, for example, doesn't have a good children's program and you would like there to be a good children's program, maybe you can be part of the solution. And so you think about that. And Rabbi Lauren, maybe this is the last one we can do for today, but your church should have a good attitude toward other evangelical churches, not this cult mindset that they're the only true church. If your pastor is lambasting the entire local body of Christ and not making any kind of distinctions that everybody else has it wrong and only this is the one true church, you're actually in a cult group, and you need to get out of that, because the fact is there are good churches, good Bible-teaching, healthy churches all across the Metro Detroit area.
There are, Rabbi Glenn. I've heard this before. There's no good churches around. That's not true. There's lots of good, solid evangelical Christian churches, and it's dangerous when a church develops, the mindset that they're the only true church. You got to be really careful about that. And I think we can do the last one, which is, practicing church discipline.
Mm.
We are to judge sin in the church, and, in our overly permissive society, it's not something we necessarily feel comfortable doing, but it's something we must do to maintain the purity of Messiah's community. So church discipline, really dealing with sin and problems in the church in a decisive way, Rabbi Glenn.
Yeah, absolutely. If your church is not willing to discipline sin, then you've got a Corinthian-style problem. There are people that we're not even supposed to eat with, not supposed to serve communion to. So hopefully you're in a church that's healthy and is willing to discipline where it's needed. Well, Rabbi Lauren, we're just about out of time, but you do have an announcement to make to our audience.
I do. We are in close fellowship with a ministry called Shalom Ministry, which is a very unique ministry led by African Americans with a passion for Jewish evangelism and especially reaching the African American church with the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. They are having a Fellowship of Suffering tour June 3rd and June 10th, 2 days. I believe it's 2 Sundays from 2 to 4. And they're on June 3rd, they're going to tour the African American Museum in downtown Detroit, and the following Sunday, the Holocaust Museum in Farmington Hills. The cost for both trips is $20, so it's like $10 and $10 for each trip for adults and $10 for school kids. The number to call is 248-991-2648. That's 248-991-2648. For our Shalom Ministries Fellowship of Suffering Tour. Rabbi Glenn, the Jewish community has suffered a lot in Western civilization, and the African-American community has suffered a lot, in Western civilization. So this Fellowship of Suffering Tour, I think, is going to be very interesting and very informative. The number again, 248-991-2648.
Well, thank you very much, Rabbi Lauren. And by the way, earlier in the show, we couldn't put the call through, but we did have a listener wanting to hear how each of us came to know Yeshua. Maybe at some point in the future, we'll share our stories again of coming to know the 3-in-1 God of Israel through Messiah Yeshua. Well, folks, we're so glad that you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We'd like to hear back from you. If you're finding this show helpful, get in touch with us. You can go to our website or give us a call. So on behalf of everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, Rabbi Lauren, and myself, we want to wish you a lovely evening. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.